This seance was recorded on the 30th of August, 1967, medium Leslie Flitz.
I hate to please you. Come, Mickey.
I'll do my best.
Thank you so much. Yes. Hello, darling. Thank you very much. Oh, yes. Oh, I hope it won't help him to carry on with the church.
No, I'm not against it.
Thank you so much, Lolly. Yes. Can you see Leslie and me sitting here?
Yes, once again.
You can.
I'm conscious of your thoughts.
I see, yes.
Even before you enunciate a word, invariably we can pick up the thought. It's so quick.
Isn't it?
We communicate entirely by thought on this side. That does not mean to say that we cannot speak to each other. Or, for instance, a person who had a glorious voice on your side and wishes still to sing, who cannot sing. Of course, we do have sound. I wouldn't like to think we live in a soundless world. But at the same time, in regard to mingling, in regard to communication, we can and we do chiefly and mostly communicate by process of thought. But then again, its transmission can be into sound wave and vibration. We have vibration sound waves, and of course there again they're on an entirely different rate, a much higher vibration. In fact, the music, for instance, is no limitation in a sense anyway to the compass. For instance, a great pianist on your side who's composed great works, no doubt often has felt frustrated because the compass is too small. Over here, of course, that doesn't apply. A great musician will find the compass is so tremendous that he can bring into being sounds which, frankly, to your ears, wouldn't even be audible. Even on your side, of course, it's well known that animals, certain animals particularly, have a sense of hearing much more acute than the human being. They have a higher perception and things that are registered which, for instance, a normal human being cannot hear, oftentimes an animal is conscious of it. The sensitivity of an animal, certain animals particularly, is much more than one perhaps would give credit for. I think it's very important to realize that as man has so-called progressed in certain ways, so to some extent he has lost something, particularly that having at one time lived nearer to nature, and be more sensitive to nature itself and many of the things which happen in nature. Man has lost a great deal by his so-called material progression. Certainly has lost even the art of listening to the fullest extent. The compass has not increased but decreased, I think.
Very interesting. And, of course, this room is not dark to you, I suppose.
No, again, light and darkness, which are very real to you. Although, in a sense, we can have a kind of what you would term a form of twilight, nevertheless, we don't have darkness as such. Darkness is, after all said and done, an illusion. I mean, for instance, you're sitting in the dark. You cannot see what is around and about you. And yet it's there, just the same.
Yes.
It's difficult to explain what I mean by this, but there are many things in your world existing with you, beside you, happening all the time, of which you cannot see, cannot become, and are not aware. That all these atmospheric conditions and vibrations of which you, to some extent, may be half conscious, and which gradually science is bringing into the picture almost, you might say, all these things have always been there. It's in the recent centuries, a recent year or two, that man has begun to realize they exist. I mean, you take television and the radio, all the time these vibrations have been in the atmosphere. These things have been there, waiting to be picked up. And there are many other things yet to be discovered, which eventually will be discovered, no doubt. I have no doubt that before very long it will be possible to make communication between our world and yours in what would be termed a more scientific method.